Hello, this is Joy Ray Freeman. The following program, Out of Tragedy, was produced right after 9/11/2001, and it won an International Communicator Award of Distinction. For empowerment workshops and retreats and or healing opportunities, check out joy2u.org.
This is Joy Ray Freeman, bringing joy to the world. Out of every tragedy comes goodness, renewal, and growth, like a phoenix from the ashes. The human spirit is awesome when expressed in compassion, sharing, courage, and unity. Beautiful and powerful beyond description. It has the capacity to heal, regenerate, and transform. It always has. But are you wondering, why does it take such catastrophe to create oneness and community? The really big question is why? Not who. I believe that somehow all of it, the violence in our schools and workplace, WTO demonstrations, Tiananmen Square, Kent State, conflicts in all parts of the world, genocide, the breakdown of our immunity systems, the raping of the earth, apartheid, medical practice without conscience, government corruption, disproportionate corporate power, hate crimes, manipulated media, IRS intimidation, judgment, exclusionary attitude, violence in the name of religion, are all connected. The common threads are fear, greed, ego, and the human spirit's inherent need to resist oppression, injustice, and imprisonment. And how to heal it? Yes, we must confront those who are harboring the enemy. But just as there is no one location or person to target, and it is not just one enemy we are now facing. It's the harboring of resentment, hate, judgment, fear, greed, selfishness, superiority, and centuries of inequities and conquests. The real enemy is that part of us all that allows separation from the goodness in ourselves and others. And now, more than ever, at the beginning of the new millennium, we have the opportunity to create the world the way we want it. And yes, it will take courage to release old patterns, open to newness, wholeness, and true oneness. This is what we've been talking about, the new time. The new age, the age of peace, transformation, balance, and love. Please say yes, for it is possible, and now is the time to create it. Together.
Church, said the lions of the Colosseum, and as the Christians wander in, we can lock the doors and feed them. Drink the blood of the saints, roll the pork pocket change, then on our knees we will get thanks. Olympics at the Lions of the Colosseum. Saw Dorothy Day on the barricades. She was hanging with Comrade Jesus. The Lions did not see a thing. They were in their antecedents. Roman soldiers did their best to silence those who would protest. They had a warrant out for Dorothy's arrest from the Lions of the Colosseum. In chains of ancient history, churches and museums, cobwebs hang like rosaries inside a mausoleum. The surfaces are clean and white, while inside rotting corpses lie. So they like to keep the lid on tight, those Lions of the Colosseum. Let it reach to heaven. We shall be as gods. We shall not die, and our reign shall be forever. So the Lions built from age to age, till they made a babble of the faith. Tore the body in a thousand different ways, like in the Colosseum. Live from the lap of luxuries, the Lions of the Colosseum. With politicians, millionaires, you won't see Mother Teresa there. Just the Holy Rose is the means of hair, Lions of the Colosseum. There's rebel graffiti on the walls inside the Colosseum. Down below in the catacombs, the defiant ones are meeting. Burning in the underground, blood brothers pass the cup around. And they pay no heed to the roaring sound of the Lions of the Colosseum. Don't you pay no heed to the roaring sound of the Lions of the Colosseum.
I am the violet flame, standing now so pure. I am erasing mankind's blame and casting out all fear. I am the violet flame, filled with joy untold, as Saint Germain's violet rain fills and heals my soul. I am the violet flame in manifest each hour. Violet fire fills my frame, filling me with power. I am the violet flame. My heart now warmly sings, bless beloved Saint Germain for the freedom that he brings. I am the violet flame that sweeps and cleans the earth in preparation for Christ's reign, for our world's rebirth. I am the violet flame. Let the blessings flow in beloved Jesus' name. My mind and heart's aglow. I am the violet flame, now that Christ in me is shining just the same as all men who are free. I am the violet flame, with all God's good in view. I am the violet flame, in all I think and do. Joy Foundation. Like a bird on the wing, I fly toward the sun.
With our baggage in tow, yearning for something more than we had. We wanted to break the chains and stretch out our hands, while the ones who were here held their hands to the sky and cried, why, oh why must our people die? Dreams alive, must our people die? The flag that we fly, so proud and so high, has always been stained with the blood of those whose cry was freedom. Give me my freedom. I want to sail across the ocean blue. Remember what I always knew, liberty is the biggest part of me and you. Oh, freedom, freedom. Now here we are together, all grown up, but really life and haste makes for such a big cup. We fought for this land so we could be free, to walk when we walk and to see what we see. What keeps you inside yourself, behind your glass bars, that only you can break if you just listen to your heart calling freedom. Give me my freedom. I want to sail across the ocean blue. Remember what I always knew, liberty is the biggest part of me and you. Thank you.
is a story heard many years ago about a small farming community in the middle of a large country area. Far from the hustle and bustle environment of the busy city, nature was a close companion, and animals were a special part of everyday life. Every living thing had a unique place in the rhythm of the community. One day, a new bird came into the area. It took up residence on a branch in a large tree outside the local sheriff's office. It had a strange call. Whirr, whirr-ee, it would cry out over and over again. After it cried out, the bird would shake its head, then start singing, whirr, whirr-ee, all over again. The commotion of this little creature was quite disturbing, and people began to take notice. "I don't want that worry bird in our yard," said the person whose tree the bird had chosen, and tried to chase the bird away. "It's bad luck." A man happened to be traveling through the area and stopped at the coffee shop in town. Of course, the waitress, as she was filling his mug with hot steaming coffee, related the recent events that were causing such disturbance in the area. He was intrigued and asked where he could find this special bird of such a unique reputation. She gave him the directions, and off he went. Before long, he found the tree the bird had nested in. Taking out his binoculars, he viewed the situation very carefully. Of course, within minutes of his arrival, people started observing him, wondering what he was doing. Finally, curiosity got the best of one of the children, who asked, "What are you doing, mister?" Lowering his binoculars to look at the youngster, he replied, "Why, I am observing a rare species of bird that was thought to be extinct. Your town is so fortunate to have it come here to build its nest. It has flown thousands of miles to get here." "Nah, mister, you're all wrong. My folks say this is a worry bird and has brought nothing but trouble. We need to get rid of it," responded the youngster. "Well, that is only because they don't know anything about it and its history. Your town needs to know that this little bird will put them on the map of fame because it is such a special, rare bird," said the visitor. Within a day, the news of the stranger's information permeated the town. Within a week, media was in the town, filming and talking about the wonderful discovery. The worry bird went from being a bad creature to a good one because of one person's awareness of what the facts really were. The supposed bad luck of the community changed almost overnight because of a new understanding and knowledge. As far as I know, that little worry bird is still chirping its song, raising its young with wiser residents who now feel it as a good luck bird instead of a bad luck bird. How many times do we jump to conclusions about the conditions, circumstances in our lives? How many times do we stress ourselves to a breaking point by worrying about the worst scenarios possible? How many times do we make ourselves ill because we don't know what to do with our mind's labyrinth of fears? Worry is a habit that most people cultivate because that is what we are taught to do. To the best of my knowledge, worry hasn't solved a single problem, cured any medical condition, created love, happiness, joy, or productivity. In fact, worry usually does just the opposite. It paralyzes thinking, delays prompt responses to solving problems, creates illnesses, and wears out our entire being. So how do we break a habit of worry? As nature abhors a void, when you want to get rid of a bad habit, you have to replace it with a good one. Here are a few suggestions. When something worries you, look at the facts around it. Assess what the worst-case scenario could be, and don't be afraid of it. Write it out. Put it down in black and white. Now that you know the worst that can happen, look at what you can do in spite of that condition, and then take action. Get the worry bird attitude under control. Remember, you are in charge of your mind, your responses to changing circumstances. You are the boss of what you give your attention to. Keep in mind that it takes just as much energy to be productive and positive as to worry and be negative.
Don't
The Mantra of Unification by Peter Rees from Vancouver, British Columbia. The sons of man are one, and I am one with them. I seek to love, not hate. I seek to serve and not exact due service. I seek to heal, not hurt. Let pain bring due reward of light and love. Let the soul control the outer form and life in all events and bring to light the love that underlies the happening of the time. Let vision come and insight. Let the future stand revealed. Let inner union demonstrate and outer cleavages be gone. Let love prevail. Let all mankind love.
Thank you.
black like night or red like clay? Are you gold like sun or brown like earth? Gray like mist or white like moon? My love for you is the reason for my birth. Peace concerns just one heart from a small step to leap and bound.
Deeper Wound by Deepak Chopra. As fate would have it, I was leaving New York on a jet flight that took off 45 minutes before the unthinkable happened. By the time we landed in Detroit, chaos had broken out. When I grasped the fact that American security had broken down so tragically, I couldn't respond at first. My wife and son were also in the air on separate flights, one to Los Angeles, one to San Diego. My body went absolutely rigid with fear. All I could think about was their safety, and it took several hours before I found out that their flights had been diverted and both were safe. Strangely, when the good news came, my body still felt that it had been hit by a truck. Of its own accord, it seemed to feel a far greater trauma that reached out to the thousands who would not survive, and the tens of thousands who would survive only to live through months and years of hell. And I asked myself, why didn't I feel this way last week? Why didn't my body go stiff during the bombing of Iraq or Bosnia? Around the world, my horror and worry are experienced every day. Mothers weep over horrendous loss. Civilians are bombed mercilessly. Refugees are ripped from any sense of home or homeland. Why did I not feel their anguish enough to call a halt to it? As we hear the calls for tightened American security and a fierce military response to terrorism, it is obvious that none of us has any answers. However, we feel compelled to ask some questions. Everything has a cause, so we have to ask, what was the root cause of this evil? We must find out, not superficially, but at the deepest level. There is no doubt that such evil is alive all around the world and is even celebrated. Does this evil grow from the suffering and anguish felt by people we don't know and therefore ignore? Have they lived in this condition for a long time? One assumes that whoever did this attack feels implacable hatred for America. Why were we selected to be the focus of suffering around the world? All this hatred and anguish seems to have religion at its basis. Isn't something terribly wrong when jihads and wars develop in the name of God? Isn't God invoked with hatred in Ireland, Sri Lanka, India, Pakistan, Israel, Palestine, and even among the intolerant sects of America? Can any military response make the slightest difference in the underlying cause? Is there not a deep wound of the heart of humanity? If there is a deep wound, doesn't it affect everyone? When generations of suffering respond with bombs, suicidal attacks, and biological warfare, who first developed these weapons? Who sells them? Who gave birth to the satanic technologies now being turned against us? If all of us are wounded, will revenge work? Will punishment in any form toward anyone solve the wound or aggravate it? Will an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, and limb for a limb only leave us blind, toothless, and crippled? Tribal warfare has been going on for thousands of years and has now been magnified globally. Can tribal warfare be brought to an end? Is patriotism and nationalism even relevant anymore? Or is this another form of tribalism? What are you and I, as persons, going to do about what is happening? Can we afford to let the deeper wound fester any longer? Everyone is calling this an attack on America. But is it not a rift in our collective soul? Isn't this an attack on civilization from without that is also from within? When we have secured our safety once more and cared for the wounded, after the period of shock and mourning is over, it will be time for deep soul searching. I only hope that these questions are confronted with the deepest spiritual intent. None of us will feel safe again behind the shield of military might and stockpiled arsenals. There can be no safety until the root cause is faced. In this moment of shock, I don't think any one of us has the answers. It is imperative that we pray and offer solace and help each other. But if you and I are having a single thought of violence or hatred against anyone in the world at this moment, we are contributing to the wounding. Thank you.
the beginning, God created heaven and earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved on the face of the waters. San Salvador was the first sight of land. In our great ships, driven by white clouds, we came. With Venetian glass beads, shiny bronze bells, bright red cloth caps, and sugar cane. Yeah, we carried our Savior o'er the sea, nailed to the cross. In the name of the God who crucified. The steps of the temple with blood running down, obsidian knives lift beating hearts to the sun. So the God will continue his journey of life without growing weary from morning to night. While the fires of Aztec sacrifice burn, Quetzalcoatl, jaguar, plumed serpent returns. Cortez Montezuma brings offerings of gold. Quetzalcoatl reclaims his kingdom of old. Yeah, we carried our Savior o'er the sea, nailed to the cross for you and for me, to the Garden of Eden where innocence dies, in the name of the God who crucified. Sacrificial stones, nothing remains now but memories and bones. Of the conquest of paradise, the story is told in the names of their gods, for kings and for gold. In the name of their gods, for kings and for gold. In the name of their gods, for kings and for gold. The conquest of paradise, the story is told in the name of their gods, for kings and for
From August 31st, 2001 to September 21st, 2001, we have been traveling through the 20 highest frequency days of the sacred Mayan Solskin, the 13th column. We are reaching for the stars. We are standing atop the pyramid with arms raised, screaming, "Yes, God, give it to me now." This is a mystical time. We prepare and envision our future. So what are you envisioning today? We just reached the 13th full moon in Pisces. On equinox, we will experience a new moon, a Jewish New Year, and the first day of the sacred Solskin. It is really time to begin again. Let go of all that does not serve and allow yourself to dream your highest dream. This is a powerful turning point. Can you feel the pressure? Take time on all equinox sunrises to meditate and pray for yourself and all your relations, all your dreams, all that you wish to manifest. There are no barriers now for us anymore, so the star elders say. We have lived through 6 months of the year of the heart, which began March 21st, 2001. And the star elders ask, do you feel like a cannonball being shot out of the cannon yet? It is a year for change, manifesting the best dreams in our lives. Our passion, excitement, and desire is what fuels the manifesting. So what are you passionate about today? All that is left to do is trust our heart and soul that we are going in the right direction, because the speed is too lightning fast. We have little or no time to contemplate the next step with our heads. Our decisions are all coming from the heart. Instant manifestation. And yes, if you don't have your heart on right, instant karma. So it is with great love for all my brothers and sisters in the light that I send you great blessings from my heart and soul. Thank you for being here now. Happy, joyful, ecstatic, blessed equinox. Eluna Joy.
You better get ready for a great big noise, cause it ain't gonna blow when you think it is. No, you better be ready for more, because human beings are not machines. We don't make good decisions on little screens. One bad move will blow us all to smithereens. So you better be ready for more. And if the folks down on the court supreme say a certain kind of sex ain't for you and me, well, we'll just keep doing what we damn well please. So they better be ready for more, because human beings are not machines. And making love's a private scene. Any primetime show is more obscene and a whole lot boring, what's more. America, America, God shed her grace on thee and crown thy good with humanhood so we can all be free. And if you treat little boys like G.I. Joes and give them He-Man and Hulk heroes, don't complain about the violence, cause heaven knows you'll be getting a whole lot more. Because human beings are not machines. You take away their feelings, they get kind of mean, and even when they're not playing on their baseball team, they strike out a whole lot more. And if you treat little girls like Barbie dolls and sell them their dreams in shopping malls, well, sooner or later they'll climb the walls and start looking for a whole lot more. Because human beings are not machines, and we aren't like the ladies on the silver screens. It takes a whole lot of looks to be a homecoming queen, but living takes a whole lot more. America, America, God shed her grace. grace on thee, and crown thy good with good, so we can all be free. And if the USA continues to back the whites in South Africa against the black, well, don't be surprised when the people fight back. They'll be doing it a whole lot more, because human beings are not machines, and we don't take it lightly when you smash our dreams. And you cannot damn the freedom stream, it just spills out a whole lot more. America, America, God shed her grace on thee, and crown thy good with human blood, so we can all be free. And if you think all you're living for is 9 to 5 and life's a bore, you're a whole lot bigger than you think you are, so you'd better be ready for more. Because you and me, we're not machines, we're a whole lot of love, a whole lot of dreams, and more power than we've ever seen, so you'd better be ready for more. I'm ready for a whole lot more. America is ready for my country dear to me, sweet land of liberty, to thee I sing. Land where my people die, land of the natives cry, with justice as our guide, let freedom ring.
Rodney did not know. You never know when and where you will make a difference in the life of another individual. Here's the story of a teacher named Jan who did. Jan had the opportunity to teach a third grade class. A little bright-eyed boy would stand at her desk, watch her, talk to her, all the while wrapping his finger around a piece of her hair into a little curl. He thought Jan was the shining star of his life. However, over and over, he did poorly in his work assignments and daily quizzes. One day, Jan stopped him and said, "Rodney, you are very smart. You could be doing so well in school. In fact, you are one of my finest students." Before she could finish telling him how he could improve in school, he looked up at her and said, "I did not know that." From that moment on, Rodney began to change. His papers were neater and cleaner. His spelling improved. He was one of her top students. All because she affirmed him. She told him something no one ever had before, and it changed his life. Author unknown. Make a difference, but don't let differences destroy us. A 2,000-year period of history is called an age. Each age is associated with a sign of the zodiac. The sign for each age describes the psychology or way of thinking that eventually becomes the basic human mentality during that particular 2,000-year period of history. Aquarius is the sign for the age from 2001 to 4,000. The basic psychological premise of Aquarius is that despite our differences, we individual human beings all belong to the same human community. Our Aquarian challenge, as individuals and as groups, is to stop hurting one another by fighting over our differences. Aquarius is about humans treating one another with human dignity and human respect. If you want to make a difference in the world, start with your attitude toward the people you deal with on a daily basis. For example, you might think in this way. If you do not think the way I think, I will not arrogantly assume that you are wrong. If you feel more or less than I do about something, I will not peevishly assume that you are wrong. If your religious and political beliefs differ from mine, I will not mockingly assume that you are wrong. If you don't act or react the way I do, I will not selfishly assume that you are wrong. I am clear that by making you wrong, I am separating and alienating myself from part of my own human family. Are you willing to look at and laugh at your arrogance and ignorance for assuming that you are superior to a fellow human being? Your one small step toward loving your neighbor will be a giant leap for humankind. Until next time, this is Joy Ray Freeman, wishing joy to the world. Thanks for listening.